and we shall close the curtains there.
That was brilliant. Yeah, well done. Really, really fun.
No worries. Glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, as you said, Scott, I think we got off easy.
Yep. give me a nice clean headshot any day.
Well, that was fun, guys. The scenario ended. Well, once I saw the way you were handling the situation and the mannerisms of your characters and the kind of direction they were taking, I kind of thought it might go to a bloodbath quite early in the day. And I think I was probably correct in that. You forced the issue, you know, you kind of entered the things very directly and forced the issue quite rapidly, leaving the villains no real resort other than to kind of get rid of you quite, you know, as quickly and quietly as they could before you could actually call the police or cause any trouble. So things were brought on quite rapidly in the scenario. Obviously, there's a lot of other things going on in the scenario to some degree. Other information you might have found out perhaps if you'd have spent a bit more time there or maybe decided to spend the night. But ultimately, you know, the result is there, and that's cool. But that scenario is called The Servants of the Lake. It's in Doors to Darkness, which is a book of scenarios which is going to be coming out slightly later in the year. It is a series of scenarios that are specifically designed for, you know, kind of more introductory games style, for, you know, lots of advice for new keepers as well as for players as well. But as you can see from a, you know, it plays reasonably well with a bunch of experienced players too, who can still go out of their way to get themselves killed. So equally valid for older groups, experienced groups as well as new groups.
Oh yeah.
So that's there. But if you want to know more about Call of Cthulhu and what we do at Chaosium, you can just come to www.chaosium.com. and find out more about Call of Cthulhu, and download the free quick start guide for Call of Cthulhu, which is the kind of the base rules to get you playing straight away, and get into the game.
Out of interest, Mike, who wrote that scenario?
That was written by Glyn Owen Barris, who's this is the first scenario he's had published by us, actually. It's Glyn's up in the north of England, in fact.
His actual name sounds like a Lovecraftian character.
And, he's also one of the contributing writers to the organised play campaign that we've got currently running at the moment, called A Time for Harvest. So he's one of the contributing authors to that as well.
That looks it looks very, very cool, actually. It's something we've definitely considered being part of.
Sure. I mean, that will be coming out as a book, you know, in due course once the actual kind of organised play campaign is finished down the road, but that will be available to people who didn't get into it, you know, this time round, as it were. So you have that to look forward to if you want to get into that down the road.
When you talked about, Mike, about how we kind of went in kind of all guns blazing, but we didn't kind of hold back. I figured my character was going to be a kind of in your face kind of guy and going to want to not sort of take fools lightly. And when we were given evidence that they'd lied to us, it just seemed like, you know, I couldn't just sort of stand there and, you know, go around just doing a bit of investigation at that point. These guys had lied to us, and my guy was kind of, I figured, you know, I'm hot-headed, so I was just going to burst in and confront them with it, you know, and then I found the evidence that they were actually there. Well, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, obviously there's something mythos-y going on here, but we hadn't seen any evidence of that at that point, so... It was like, yeah, kind of just going to get in there and, you know, confront them, really.
Well, I think that was, you know, pretty realistic in that sense. In terms of the character you were playing, you know, you were very direct, and as was Scott playing the brother character, you know, that it was kind of like, you know, not. I mean, you know, I don't know whether in real life you would rush directly to, you know, Scott's character sort of saying, you murdered them, they're in the lake, but obviously you did, and obviously that was backed up with what you found, Paul.
I think if we hadn't met that guy outside, what was his name, Trent, and he, you know, if we hadn't have had a witness that said our guy was there, there, James had been seen there, then I'd be like, well, you know, maybe, well, actually, you know, he said he stayed there the night, so that was the point where I sort of flipped out, because that was distinctly what they'd said, and they, you know, we'd seen pages torn out, or we didn't actually know they were covering anything up at that point, but it seemed quite likely. So.
Well, it definitely, you know, it definitely gave you the ammunition to sort of say, no, we need to stay and sort this out and confront them. I think
it comes across as a win though. Like I don't think any of us acted out of character. I think we all played characters. And I feel that we have a conclusion. Like it's not like we got shot by a mook. Like, you know, we got shot by a big thing. There was an ending. It feels quite Lovecraftian. Like all the characters die, but we still kind of get what happened. Like there's this big demon in the lake controlling everything and turning people into zombies, and like it feels like a complete story. Like I don't feel that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I tried. You know, I moved things. Once you were getting into the confrontation mode, I moved things a pace on to kind of, you know, to react to that and make it happen.
To be fair, I don't think like you did definitely drive the pace, but I don't think it came across as like myself and Joe were clearly playing two fucking idiots, more or less. And I think the foil of Nathaniel and Cyril, who are real, they probably don't even get sarcasm, they're such straight characters. Like it was a good balance, and it felt like they were driving the push we were having to go to places more than anything. Like Cyril really, it's something as a group, our group lacks. We are all go for the low hanging fruit of bad puns and jokes, and we can making terrible jokes, literally just a room that's not involved in the story at all.
We literally have an episode where I presented them with an empty room with the goal of let's camp here for the night and move on to the game, and it's a whole episode just that room, empty room.
But I mean,
punching each other and fighting each other.
In terms of information gathering, you know that bit that Owen did, you know, in terms of catching Jacob Trent outside, you know that was, you know, the fact that you did decide to leave that kind of the scene that was all blowing up in the front of the thing and just go and get some air and just, you know, try and do something different. That did actually allow you to actually find a real vital piece of information. You know.
That trend may or may not be here. Yeah.
And you know, you were very, very pushy with him. You know, you were really pushy. He did give you that what you needed, really, I guess.
And it's because we have a lot of people who have never played Call of Cthulhu before that listen to our podcast, and I think it's a really interesting thing that's come out of this podcast is when you look at it as a scenario as a keeper, you kind of, you get all these threads and you almost feel that you have to push them upon the players. But I think what you did really well, Mike, was we probably completely missed off a big chunk of this. I'm assuming that we missed off a big chunk of the story.
Yeah, there's a load of other things that would happen if you did this rather than that. But there's
two full PCs.
You know,
you've
got to go with the what the PCs
and like
are
if
doing,
we'd
you know,
stayed the night
PCs,
and if we'd been more subtle. But actually,
if you stay the night, I don't have to be quite so confrontational. I could be, you know, slow creeping horror and all that kind of thing. But you know, you were out for blood, so you know that's what you got. So.
But I don't feel as a player that I got shortchanged. Like this is literally my first game, one of my first games ever of Call of Cthulhu, and I feel I had a really good time. I feel there was a story that I've got a handle on, and I almost want to go back as a different type of player and try it again. And I think there's a real skill as a keeper to not think, right, I'm sorry, but you need to stay the night and learn more about the story, was actually, no, sorry, it's not that you fucked up, but you've approached it in this way and this is what's going to happen. And but it's still fun.
Yeah,
like it's a really, it's not a punishment, but it's
kind of fundamental to kind of react to what the players are doing, really. You've kind of got, you know, Mike's got that scenario there, so he's got a whole, you know, host of things that he can feed to us depending on what we choose to do. And we could have taken a much slower approach to it, I'm sure, but we could have taken a much more subtle approach. But you know, he just sort of went with what actions we chose to do.
Yeah, and I think the best way to sum up our best analogy for like a great Call of Cthulhu game is there's times when you can, you know, feel like you've missed a huge chunk of the story and God, I wish I hadn't done that. But there's Call of Cthulhu games when, like this one, now you finished it and you're like, okay, I know like 90% of the story. But when you read a good book that has a massive twist at the end, you kind of want to reread that and see where all the foreshadowing I may have missed because I didn't know what to look for.
Sure.
You know that kind of way?
And we didn't even have to go to the motel first. We could have gone elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, there's research you didn't bother doing. But no, I didn't push that because I knew we had a limited time, and it
seems like the obvious place to go.
You know, but
I mean,
and it really is the obvious place to go. So.
We were very conscious of time, and we're a group that don't know each other very well. And, you know, if it was our natural group, then we might have said, you know, interrupted each other and go, hang on, you shouldn't say, you know,
Oh, sure.
Actually, no, we're going to stay the night. But I think we don't know each. You know, if we played another game together, I think we'd probably be.
It's different again. You know, as you become to know different people's sort of ways of playing and styles. But I mean, I treated this very much like a convention game. You know, although I know Paul and Scott very well, you know, I didn't know you guys, and so I just treat it like a convention game. I've got a set amount of time. I want to tell a story with a middle and an end. So that's what I'm going to try and do, but I don't want to, you know, but I want to react to what you guys are doing rather than railroad you into making you play a slow game when you clearly want to play a direct and fast game. So that's, you know, that's the way.
I think that's a perfect piece of advice. The idea that you let the players do what they need to do, because otherwise, what's the point in being players? But you have a middle and an end, and I think it's very easy to skip that middle bit and go to the end, or make the end what you want the end to be and not let the players make the end. Like,
I think as a keeper, it's a very dynamic thing that you've got to use the scenario, whether it's one you've written yourself or whether it's a pre-written one, as a toolkit for bringing the elements out and creating all that on the table rather than being descriptive.
It's just remembering that the scenario is a toolkit for you to pull and use rather than a script to adhere to all the way through, isn't it?
And I think as well, like, the ending, if I'm reading it right, is it happened the way it happened was because it was a one shot. If there was a campaign, there's probably more of a chance of me and Owen getting away. But
I wouldn't have for a one shot. I wanted to have a kind of I couldn't allow you to walk off thinking that'd have been terrible. But on the other hand,
Mike, if they'd have passed that power roll,
I was going to let you go. Yeah, that it was down to that roll, but. Yeah.
It would have been,
But I would have given you, in a campaign, I would have given you, it wouldn't have happened in that way.
That's something we often tend to do, isn't it? At the end of a one shot, it would be kind of like come down to, okay, well, we need to kind of summarise kind of the fate of the survivors here, and it'll come down to maybe a power roll or a sanity roll or a luck roll or something, whatever feels most appropriate, and then we just kind of, narrate an overall kind of ending for that character based on that, maybe kind of one role at the end there.
And that's what we often do in our show. I mean, we have endings similar to what happened there where, okay, there's a clear ending point, but we can, like me and Joe did there, where we talked about it'd be a cooler way for us to role play out of him being under the body. But we'll do that with our whole group going, okay, we're going to roll here, and this is how Joe has kind of half seen playing out, and we eventually kind of crowdsource an answer. And it's done live on stream, like our fans will see us do that sometimes.
So if you're new to Call of Cthulhu and you're interested in giving it a go and picking up the game, the full rule book is quite a lot to take on maybe for the first try. But if you want to just try it out, go to chaosium.com, that's chaosium.com, and download the quick start rules. That's like maybe 20 pages of text, and it's got a short scenario with it. And if you also have come to blasphemoustomes.com, then you'll find and click on the videos tab. I've made a series of 5, like 3-minute videos, and they talk you through the quick start rules. So you can be kind of, you've got the rules, you've got a guide to how to use them and how to create characters and how to work combat and investigation and so on. And, I think you could download that in the morning, read through it, watch the videos, and be ready to run in the evening easily. And you can sit down with your friends and use a quick start character creation method, which takes like 10 or 15 minutes, and you're up and running.
The other thing I'd say is that while you're on the Chaos website, in fact on the same page as the quick start rules for Call of Cthulhu, the download there's another link there to a free adventure. A free adventure called Alone Against the Flames, which is a solo at play. So even if you haven't got a group of players and you just want to try the game, you can play through Alone Against the Flames, which actually also teaches you the rules and as you use it alongside the quick start. So along with that and Paul's videos, you can play a game yourself, and then if you enjoyed it, you can get a few mates together and play the scenario in the quick start, or even replay Alone Against the Flames as a group. So there's a lot there to do for free to just get into the game.
Yeah, and it's like it's well worth getting into. My RPG experience was Dungeons and Dragons to start off. Like, I was a kid in a small village who didn't have anyone who played Dungeons and Dragons. There wasn't anyone around. I was like, played a 3.5 game. I loved it. And then I played a Call of Cthulhu game, and it was, there's just so much more you can do. There's so much more consequences to everything you do. It's not just a fighting simulator, which D&D can be sometimes, that, oh, I'll just go through this and get extra lives, get revived. Like, there's so much weight in every decision.
Familiar setting,
like, even
as
opening
well, like,
doors it's... in... Yeah. It's so worth trying out. If you're familiar with other RPGs, it's the best... You get the most visceral feeling out of Cthulhu, for me. It's well worth trying out, I would say.
So, I mean, it's been great having you guys on. I mean, if you haven't already, check out the Good Friends of Jack and Elias podcast. They're not an actual play podcast, but they're... Well, in fact, guys, do you want to just take us a little bit through what your podcast is and what you do? You'll do a lot better than what I do.
Yeah, do you want to take this, Scott?
Sure. Our podcast, it's primarily about the Call of Cthulhu RPG. It's discussions on various topics related to the RPG, inspiration for your games, various aspects of it we like, rules, mechanics, and so on. We have a single topic for each episode, and this is Paul, myself, and Matt Sanderson, who's another Call of Cthulhu writer. We also talk about horror stories we like, horror films, other RPGs. But I mean, even when we're talking about stories and films, we always try to take it back to gaming and look at different ways that you can use the inspiration for these films and stories in your games.
And Mike, is there anything you want to plug or mention or say?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's been great fun, guys, and thank you very much. I've enjoyed myself as well. And just to say that, you know, if what you saw tonight kind of appealed, even though it kind of it was crazy and all sorts of
you've obviously
of times,
never listened to our podcast. No.
then, as myself and Paul have said, you know, pick up the quick start for Call of Cthulhu, give it a go, try something different, and hopefully, you know, you get the taste and you become another cultist for Cthulhu. So come along to curzon.com and get into the game.
And again, it's been great playing tonight. As I say, this is my first official Call of Cthulhu game I've ever played, despite keeping for 18 months. If you do want to get in contact with anyone, you can get in contact with all through Facebook, through Twitter, as usual. And a huge thank you to our players, Owen, Paul, Mike, and thank you very much. Sorry, I missed Scott off as well, and Scott as well.
It's okay.
Yeah, I will point out I am like six glasses of whiskey into this game, so.
No, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
It was ace. Like, never would have thought I was going to play with the creator of a game I started 18 months ago, to be fair.
Absolutely amazing.
It's awesome.
Who thought a podcast could take it this far?